Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Lord, thank you for the wonderful and blessed gift and privilege of eternal life. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of your family and a part of the army of God as well, the army of your kingdom. And thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to serve you each and every day. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to be believers that grow in our understanding of the fact that you call us to follow you faithfully and courageously. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that in fact the only way to genuinely and faithfully follow you is to courageously and boldly follow you in obedience, knowing that we live in a world where Satan will try to use fear and intimidation against us every day of our lives. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of boldness today. Empower us to be bold disciples, bold kingdom warriors, that follow you into battle every day with a full expectation of victory as we trust you, obey you, and follow you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for the gift of your written word. Thank you so much that we can love your word and that we can go and delve into truths about your character and how you love us and how we've been called to love others. And Heavenly Father, I ask I ask that we take more time to walk in prayer, to walk in asking you to give us more understanding about your word through your written word and through your Holy Spirit talking to us. And thank you so much, Father, for equipping us whenever, for whatever you need us to do. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, as we often do, we do share discipleship articles that we encourage you to email us to get copies of. We encourage you to listen to them on the broadcast, but also email them so that you can use it for your personal walk. Also as a tool to help disciple your family, but also a tool to forward and share with fellow church members, maybe family members, saved or unsaved individuals as well. But we invite you to partner with us in using these discipleship articles to minister far and wide with them by way of the internet. This first article is entitled, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. Again, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. John 14, verse 26, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Again, John 14, 26. Then 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. Again, 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. The Holy Spirit is all about ministry all the time. He's doing ministry every day, 24 hours a day. Well, what exactly is ministry? Ministry is very simply, it's doing the will of God everywhere and all the time. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper. What does he help us do? He helps us listen to God and obey him. In other words, he helps us to do ministry wherever we go as we simply follow him. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, our job is to yield to the Holy Spirit all the time. Or it could be said that we're to be on call to serve the Lord 24 hours a day. We're to be evangelism-minded every day. How can we do that? By yielding to the Holy Spirit. We carry gospel tracts with us wherever we might go. That's one way to follow the Lord. We're prepared to share our testimony of how we came to know the Lord or how our walk with him is going as well. We're to be discipleship-minded disciple-makers every day. We may ask, how can I pray for you? Do you read God's word every day? Or we might share truths such as reading 3 chapters in the Word of God daily will bless your life a lot. We also look for opportunities to be a blessing and to meet the needs of others. This is walking in love and can only be done successfully by relying on the Holy Spirit. One may conclude, that's easier said than done. How do we faithfully listen to him and follow him with a heart that's passionate to serve the Lord? Our calling as believers is to know Christ and to abide in him. We're called to walk intimately with him and listen to him daily. And we're called to obey him. Amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is a fire. He's a supernatural fire that burns within every believer. How big the fire of the Holy Spirit burns within each of us depends on our diligent obedience. When any believer listens to and obeys the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn bigger and brighter in that person. Thus, we faithfully read and meditate on the Word of God. As we do that, we add, quote-unquote, fuel to the fire of the Holy Spirit that burns within us. When we live a prayer-filled life faithfully, we also, quote-unquote, add fuel to the fire of the Holy Spirit within us as well. The ongoing goal is to live daily so that the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of us is always burning big and brightly every single day. Yes, every believer is called to be in ministry, and we're wise to consistently seek to live so that the fire of the Holy Spirit burns inside of each of us every day of our lives, that he's literally a burning bonfire. Again, the title of that article, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. And then This next article is entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Again, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33. Then, children, this is Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. The best defense is an offense. This is a statement that we may hear in sports situations pretty often, but nowhere is this statement more true than in the kingdom of God. It's also true in the Christian family. An important question one may ask is, how can a believer get on offense in spiritual warfare? Very simply, faithful obedience to God and his word puts you on offense spiritually. We are each called to read and study the word of God diligently, then faithfully obey what we learn. When Abraham packed up his family and moved to the place God had told him to move to, he got on offense. And as long as he obeyed God, he stayed on offense. When Moses, in obedience to God, walked into Egypt and confronted Pharaoh and told him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go," he stepped onto offense. Moses went on offense when he obeyed God and spoke those words boldly to Pharaoh. So when we in our families and in our homes are wise enough to passionately obey God in the same way we guide, mold, and shape our children and families, we are going on offense in our homes. When husbands and wives start to pray together daily, they are on offense. When parents begin to pray daily with their children and for their children in their home, these parents and this family is going on offense. When husbands and wives seek to diligently love each other, sacrificially, as we are called to do, they are on offense in their marriage and in their home. Disobedience to the word of God opens the door for the devil and allows him to have access to our home and our relationships. It gives the devil the opportunity to attack our marriages, families, and homes, and it quickly puts the family on defense. One may ask, why is obedience so important in the kingdom of God? Well, the word of God is the wisdom of God, the strategy of God, and the counsel of God. And God's word always works when you live it out. God's word is a sure strategy. We can pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
My heart cries for more of you.
the music of Covenant Church with My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Just to finish up, a portion of the article entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. It's the strategy of God. It's the counsel of God. And God's Word always works when you live it out. God's Word is a sure strategy. Also, the kingdom of darkness has no adequate defense against obedience to the Word of God. May we as a family and as families strive to live fully obedient lives, seeking to live for Christ. The following are some suggested weapons, tools, and or tasks you and your family can seek to use or do on a daily basis in order to stay on offense. Number one, read the Word of God daily, individually, and as a family together. Number two, discuss as a family how we can live out and obey the Word of God. Number three, make it a goal to be kind and thoughtful to your spouse every single day. Number four, pray daily, individually, and together as husbands and wives, and together as a family, again, every single day. Next, attend Sunday morning worship and Bible study together as a family. Next, worship together as a family, both at church and at home. The next one, make it a goal to walk in love, patience, and forgiveness as a lifestyle in your family and in your home. The next one, get involved in mission projects and go on mission trips as a family. The next, come up with projects to raise money for missions and ministries that you know of. And then finally, go out as a family and distribute gospel tracts in strategic places as the Lord leads you in your community. Finally, be mindful that individually and as a family, we're called to always be on offense in the kingdom of God. In other words, we're called to live a life full of faithful obedience. Again, the title of that article, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Again, if you're wanting copies of one or both articles, simply email us my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get those to you. We are blessed and honored to have with us once again, Sherry Hopper, the director of Sherry Hopper Ministries. Sherry, how are you today?
I am doing very well, Pastor Joseph. How are you?
Honored, doing very well, and honored to have you on with us once again. And I would mention to our listeners, Sister Sherry is also one of the board members for our pregnancy ministry, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry, does a great job and is a very faithful member of the board. And so we do appreciate you. For one more reason, we appreciate Sister Sherry. So would you take time now to further introduce yourself to our listeners, share what you'd like for them to know about who you are, and tell them about Sherry Hopper Ministries, and then we'll dive into the topics we'll be looking at today.
Sure. I am honored always to be with you, Pastor Joseph, so thank you for inviting me again. Mm-hmm. Sherry Hopper Ministries is my heart and what you touched on. Every Christian has a calling. I minister to broken women and teach them that Jesus loves them and try to share the hope of what Jesus is, the healing power that he has as he has healed me. As I share my testimony and encourage them in what God can do for them. So I do Bible studies. I do speaking at women's conferences and anything the Lord would have me to do, being a board member for a pregnancy care center or however the Lord would use me.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for being with us today. And we're appreciative of both the call of God in your life as well as you working with us ministry-wise as well. So I want to invite you just to share the specific topic that was on your heart. But before we do that, would you pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Yes, I would be honored to. Father God, we thank you for today. God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit dwells in me, that he is my great comforter. And God, I ask that whoever is listening today understands that and that the Holy Spirit can also be their great comforter. I ask, Lord, that you touch the hearts and the minds of everyone that's listening today, and they understand that you are there for them, that you want to comfort them, that your desire is to have a relationship with them, Lord. God, I thank you for all that you've done in my life and all that you continue to do in my life. I thank you for bringing me through so much the enemy has set out to destroy me with. But God, you have always said, you shall not destroy her. Every weapon formed against me never prospered, God. And that is all glory to you. And God, I pray that others receive that today, receive your gift of salvation, and the Holy Spirit as a great comforter. Be with the show today. Anoint the words and the ears of the listeners today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, at this point, I want to ask you just to dive right in with what was on your heart today to share with us on the broadcast.
Sure. So one of the things that I want to share is something that I hear a lot about in my women's ministry, and it's so sad to me that people don't know how to pray. And for whatever reason, they think that it's a fancy set of words or that it's something that has to be learned. And the absolute true honesty of it, it's just as if we would talk to our best friend or our father or, you know, any kind of conversation. God doesn't want a fancy, eloquent speech. He wants relationship. Mm-hmm. So what I want to share today is some of the ways that I have prayed to God when I thought even that it was the wrong way of praying, mm-hmm. but God still showed up and God still answered.
Mm-hmm. You know, Shira, I really appreciate you kind of just diving into that, in that, because in my just right about 50 years of ministry, I found that everybody can use help in their prayer life. Absolutely. Even people that have been saved and in the ministry many, many years, everyone can use help and encouragement in their prayer life. So please go right ahead to share what's on your heart there.
Sure. So one of the things that I learned, and I say this the hard way because I've learned everything I've learned through Holy Spirit the hard way. Years ago, I was having what I thought I was failing in my marriage and as a mother. And one day, I just broke down and just cried out to God to help me. I felt like, you know, this was my third marriage, and I felt like I was losing it. I felt like my children, I was losing connection with them, that no matter how hard I tried to do the right thing and to be a good wife and a good mother, I was failing. So I cried out to God to help me. And as I am on my knees and on my face, literally in my living floor, and saying, please help me, God, don't let me lose my marriage. Help me to be a good mother. And in those tears and all of that brokenness and desperation and just being absolutely real with God, no fancy words, just broken and crying out to him, he told me, which is something also very important that we as Christians have to do, we not only have to cry out to him or pray to Jesus, we have to stop and listen for an answer. If we will take the time to stop and listen, he will always give us something. He'll bring us peace. He'll give us something from that prayer. And in this time, when I stopped and listened, trying to catch my breath, he said, you have your focus wrong. So he said, focus on me and not being a wife and being a mother. But if I did those things to the best of my abilities, the best that I could, he would take that and he would bless it. And he would take care of my slack. He pretty much would get my back from the things that I wasn't doing great at. And he would take care of that part. Mm. And from then on, my focus changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, and I put him, I did everything as I was doing it unto him, as scripture says, do everything that we do as you're doing it unto Jesus. And I changed my perspective and my focus. And God turned around my home situation.
You
but
know,
I had to break down and I had to listen.
You know, that sounds very much like you were simply living out the scripture that tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And that's a great
Absolutely.
Illustration of that truth as well. So, but please go right ahead.
So with that, one of the things that was important to me was I didn't seek him previously. I waited until I was just about destroyed or I was so beaten up. But if I had sought God first, then I wouldn't have gone through all of that. So it's so important that we do everything we do with God in the center of it and not wait until the very last minute and then seek God. So that was another valuable lesson that I learned, that in our marriage daily we need to seek God. In our parenthood daily we need to seek God and not wait until it's fallen apart for God to come in and save us and fix everything. So one of the other things that I want to talk about was years ago I got diagnosed with cancer. West Clinic, which is a large cancer clinic in Memphis, Tennessee, told me I had cancer. I had ovarian cancer. And I had to have a surgery. I had to have a complete hysterectomy. And I may wake up with a colostomy bag. They didn't know how bad it was. They didn't know what kind it was. We didn't know about treatment until they went in there, did the surgery. And then we would talk about treatment and whatever would come next. So at this time in my life, again, I was going through a lot of stuff. My marriage was not good again. My marriage had, it just wasn't good. And I felt like I was losing my marriage again. My oldest son was graduating from high school. I had, you know, already overcome child abuse and abortion. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And I just didn't know what God was doing. So after the doctor tells me this, I go out to my car and I just lose it on God. I'm like, how can you allow this with all that I've been through? You know, with all of my history, I have plenty of testimony, God. I don't need any more testimony. How can you allow the enemy to now give me cancer? And I ashamedly admit, in my dishonor, I lost it. I was just like, why? What have I done? Is my life meant to be tormented? So I'm sitting in my little car in May in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's 110 degrees. It is hot as all get out. Mm-hmm. And I have cried, and I'm sweating, and I have fogged the windows up. I can't see outside, and hopefully no one can see inside, as I'm just losing it. Mm-hmm. I am broken and hurt and in disbelief. And as I'm sitting there and I can't see for the tears and the sweat in my eyes, in my mind's eye, as clear as day, I see the hands of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I see the scars in his hands. And I hear him say in my mind that he didn't want to do that either. He did not want to do that either. He did not want to come down here and die on a cross for us. He says, I did not want to do this either, but I did it for you. Do this for me. Mm. And as soon as he told me that, everything was okay. Mm-hmm. Everything was okay. I knew that regardless what happened, he had me. And now I say that I prayed like everybody tells you can't pray that way. God doesn't respect those kind of prayers. But I'm here to tell you he did. Mm-hmm. He showed up. Mm-hmm. He comforted me. And I knew from that moment on, I could trust him. Now, I learned that day that faith and trust are two different things. I knew that he could. But that day, he said, trust me. I knew that he would. That day I learned a valuable, valuable lesson. Not only was my faith strengthened, but my trust in Jesus was strengthened. Mm-hmm. So in the end of that, after the surgery, God did a complete miracle. And the tumor that I had that had caused me so much pain for over a year, so much problems, mm-hmm. that tumor mm-hmm. that West Clinic said was cancer was a cyst full of water. There was zero cancer in that.
Oh, so praise God. Praise God.
That he healed me from that. He healed me. Mm-hmm. He said, trust me. And from that minute, I trusted him. Mm-hmm. So even when our prayer isn't right, even when our prayer is angry and it's mad and we're blaming God, how can you do this? He still hears us and he still cares about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cher, I think of the fact that in the book of Psalms, for example, sometimes you see the humanity of King David and or any of the other psalmists just sharing their heart, prayers that sometimes might seem like weird things to say, prayers that sound like a person, the author felt like they were forsaken by God, that God had turned his back on them, yet they were honestly praying to God from their heart. And so, again, a big part of prayer, of course, is simply sharing your heart in conversation with the heavenly, with the Lord. And so, again, it's so important for us to know that, as you pointed out so beautifully, a big part of our Christian life is relationship, walking with God, spending time with him in prayer, spending time with him in his word as well. So it's good for us to know that anyone that wants to can have a conversation with God.
Absolutely. Can I pray for those people right now to hear that?
We're coming up on a break, and on the other side of the break, I want you to do that right away as we start the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Sherry Hopper, the director of Sherry Hopper Ministries. We'll be right back. Music of Dunson Oyakhan with If All I Say Is Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Sherry Hopper, the director of Sherry Hopper Ministries. And Sherry, as we begin this segment, would you take time to pray, whatever's on your heart, to pray for our listeners at this time?
Yes. Father God, I thank you that you allow me to speak, that you allow me to share my testimony of the wonderful, miraculous things you have done in my life. God, I hope that everyone that hears this today hears that you only really want relationship from us, that you want us to be real with you, that you want us just to speak and conversate with you, God, that is how you draw us closer to you, that there's no fancy words needed, that we don't have to do any kind of rituals, that you just want us to be real with you. Lord, help the listeners to understand that you already know everything. You already know the things in the physical world and in the spiritual world, so we're not hiding anything from you. And we're sharing things with you that you already know about. You already know our needs. But God, you want relationship with us. Help us, Lord, to learn how to draw closer to you and speak with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Sherry, you know, something I just wanted to mention along in relation to something you shared earlier. You know, the fact is, a very important truth about the Word of God, and of course,
we know this. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word, and the Word of God is many, many, many things. Well, amongst other things, the Bible, the Word of God, is a book of prayer. It literally is a book of prayer from Genesis to Revelation. Prayer is talking to God, and it's listening to God. Well, of course, when you're reading and studying Scripture, it's heavy on the listening. But the fact is, you're communing with your Heavenly Father. You're spending time with Him. He's speaking directly to us. So, yes, if somebody's wondering, is it really true that you're praying when you're studying Scripture? Yes, that's very true. And it's one of the many ways we can commune with and seek God in His Word as well, though. So, but yes, I wanted you to go right ahead and share further what else was on your heart to share.
Yes, absolutely. Another instance of my prayer life that probably wasn't what a lot of people would consider the best prayers is forgiveness prayer. So when I was a little girl, let me start with this. When I was a little girl, my father abused me, and I often prayed every night that he would love me like he was supposed to, like a father was supposed to love me. And I cried and prayed that prayer for many years. The abuse finally came out when I was about 13, and that prayer had never been answered. And I eventually forgot I prayed that prayer. Years later, when in my 40s, God reminded me that I made that prayer. As I had an abortion when I was 15 and had not ever dealt with that except for to simply ask God, forgive me. And that's all I could say about it. I couldn't talk to God about it. I couldn't have a conversation with anyone about it. And as a friend of mine told me that I needed to talk to God about that and get healing from that. Mm-hmm. So one night I'm on my knees again and I'm crying out to God and I'm just pouring my heart out to Him. God, I can't stand that I did this. I hate that I did this. I'm glad that you forgave me, but I can't forgive myself. And as I'm praying and crying to Him, He tells me it's okay that He forgives me and that it was time to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And I guess with his approval that it was okay to forgive myself, that He wasn't mad at me, that He didn't hate me, that I was still worthy of Him, I was still loved by Him. Mm-hmm. So that night, I was able to forgive myself, even mm-hmm. though I didn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. You know, God's gracious, and He does things that we don't deserve. We don't deserve His love and His forgiveness. None of us do. None mm-hmm. of us are worthy of that.
That is
but
so
by
true.
Grace, He allows us. Mm-hmm. So as I'm going through that and I completely get delivered from the anger and the hurt of that abortion situation, God also deals with me forgiving my father, the one that abused me. And mm-hmm. to make this kind of short, I had to go to my father and speak to him, and we had a whole forgiveness conversation. And I was in my 40s when this had happened. And I had honestly forgotten about crying as a little girl for him to love me. It, you know, it had been so long ago. I just thought God wasn't going to do that. Or the answer was no, because I know that God answers every prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes, and things happen. Sometimes it's not now, not yet. And then sometimes it's no. So mm-hmm. it had been 30-something years since I had prayed those prayers. Mm-hmm. And I just assumed the answer was no. That he was not going to make my father love me like he should, as a father should love a daughter. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, all those years later, when God told me to go to him and talk about forgiveness and forgive him for what he had done, and he forgave me because I hadn't forgiven him, so I also had to ask my father to forgive me because I hadn't forgiven him. Mm-hmm. Well, that next year, God had brought us together and had made healing possible. Mm-hmm. And we did things together. And I, for the first time in my life, I had my father that loved me as a daughter. Mm-hmm. And he reminded me of all those years ago as a little girl, me crying those tears, mm-hmm. that God would move my father to love me as his daughter. that he finally did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to say, sometimes God doesn't answer us when we want him to. Later that year, my father died of a massive heart attack. Mm-hmm. And I knew immediately, Holy Spirit told me immediately, that God answered those prayers. He honored all those tears that I cried, and mm-hmm. he answered that prayer. He didn't forget it. I'd forgotten it. God mm-hmm. didn't forget it. And he made that miracle that I'd been waiting my entire life. God made that miracle come true. And it was only by his grace and him remembering my prayers, which his word says he does. He hears the prayers of his children. He does not ignore our prayers. And in Psalms, and I think it is 15:29, the word says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He hears our prayers. He doesn't ignore us. And in Psalms 56:8, it says, you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? He keeps up with our prayers. He keeps up with our tears.
Cher, would you?
He cares.
Would you take time now to pray for people who may find themselves in a similar situation to where someone listening may be struggling with forgiving someone who's hurt them in their past, or someone who's just going through something traumatic? Would you pray whatever's on your heart to pray for our listeners that related to your own journey?
Yes. Oh, Father God, I ask you that you speak to the hearts of those that have been hurt, just like you spoke to mine, God. And you reveal to them the power of prayer, that you want reconciliation, if at all possible, that you want healing, that you want deliverance. God, I ask you that they seek you for those things. You freely give those things if we just ask. You freely want to bless us if we just seek you. Part of the relationship with you, God, is our faith and our trust in you to make things right. God, you also say that you came to give us life more abundantly, that you love us, and your grace is enough. So, God, I ask you right now to reach out to those, touch their hearts and their ears, that they can freely reach out to you, and you meet them, Lord, where they are, that you give them that freedom, that you give them forgiveness, and you bring them together, Lord. God, just touch them where they are. Let your anointing power flow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cher. Cher, if someone wants to learn more about Sherry Hopper Ministries or might would like to email you or be in touch, can you tell them how they could do that?
Absolutely. My email address is Sherry, Sherry, at Sherry Hopper, and that Hopper is Hopper. So it's Sherry at SherryHopper.com, and I'm happy to reach out to anyone and reply to anyone that reaches out to me.
All right. I do appreciate that. And, you know, Cher, we live in a world where there's so many people that have kind of to draw from the parable of the Good Samaritan, so many people that have been beat up by life and left on the side of the road for dead. And there's one more reason why there's such a need for every believer to be fully engaged in whatever ministry God has called them to, is because so many people need ministry. So again, really do appreciate you coming on and sharing about your journey and sharing about your ministry as well. So one more time, if someone wants to get in touch with you, share that website and contact information again.
Yes, it's SherryHopper.com is my website, and Sherry at SherryHopper.com is my email address. Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
Thank you, and always an honor and a privilege to have you on the broadcast and to have you share. And just keep up the great work as well. I know, amongst other things you mentioned in the past, you've done work with children and young people as well. So, Sherry, keep up the great work as you let the Lord use you, okay?
Thank you so much. I will.
And Father, we thank you, Lord, for our sister Sherry. Thank you for Sherry Hopper Ministries. And thank you for others that are out there ministering to people that are hurting, that are bleeding on the inside or otherwise, Lord. And help us to live a life of compassion, knowing that people all around us are hurting and help us to simply be available vessels through which your Spirit can reach to touch and share the gospel with, and to share with them that you're the answer to every problem, every challenge. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've never sought his forgiveness and his just the new life he can provide for you, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, by faith, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you and obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Want to remind you, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to get to you information and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that email for you to get in touch with us, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of one or both of the articles we shared towards the beginning of the broadcast, again, those two titles, the first one, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry, the second article title, Spiritual Warfare, The Christian Family on Offense, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening again. Please pray much for Sherry Hopper and her ministry. And pray for the ministry of the American Family Association. We very much desire your prayers. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.